Blog Talk Radio.
Of this week, and supposed to meet with the young lady concerning this
next week. And so, you know, I'm excited about it. You know, it's the only thing, I have a draft grant proposal for that's already written. And so, you know, I'll go over this stuff with her and see what she says. So, you know, we're going to get back to the normal lessons. And, you know, I will go over Thursday night at the business meeting. I will go over what I've written with everyone to show you where we are at. You know, it's a lot of writing and having to be in a certain frame of mind to do it. And so I pray that, you know, on Thursday I'm able to show you, you know, what I have. And the way I'm going to try to do this is, they're done, if you become familiar with the material, just doesn't say that you can't lead a class yourself. Okay, because it's going to be that detail. As far as from the teacher's aspect, what we will be showing on the web or as the course description and things like that, we won't put all that information, you know, out there. But you know, what the teacher will need to actually teach, I will have that well documented. And so it's just a matter of being familiar with the material and being comfortable. But I'm writing it so that we can apply for, you know, to present this this training to communities that have been historically underserved, whether it's African Americans or American Indians or even I believe it's women qualify for that. And so we will, I have to get into the frame of mind to write the grant and put it in the correct way so that we'll be doing this, you know, we will be the recipient, and then we will, you know, ask for the money to, you know, for different facilities. I have done, written several drafts, and so once I have them looked at, you know, as for quality or what, you know, what they will be looking for, then I will modify them. So it's been, you know, a very busy time, and, you know, I'm praying the Most High to give us favor in this thing, that we can receive some money toward what we're trying to do. So I will go over that, all of that on Wednesday, I mean Thursday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, is the last feast, the last day of unleavened bread, the last day of the feast. It is a holy day, a holy, you know, we're supposed to have a holy convocation on that day. So we will have a, we will meet tomorrow evening and have a service in observance of the seventh day of unleavened, first and the first day and the seventh day are holy convocations. And so we want to be we want to be in compliance with that. Remember also that it's also a no work day, and so if you've had time to plan for it, I pray that you are able to take it off. If you look at the feast day calendar that I sent out, I indicated, you know, what days are work days and what days are not work days. If it says no work on that day, then that's the day that we observe according to my understanding of Scripture, and we don't work on that day. And so hopefully, you know, I know it was a little bit late for this year for Passover, but hopefully the other feast days that are coming up in the rest of the year, that you're able to plan and take off accordingly if you have a job that you're able to plan and take off accordingly. So we're going to go ahead and move into this lesson. We are going to be doing the Well-Dressed Saint. I might be looking for another title for this lesson in the future, but that's the way it's titled today. I had in the past called the well-dressed Christian, but, you know, that word Christian for a lot of people has such a negative connotation. And I know I've thought that, you know, we shouldn't have a negative connotation toward that word, because it's like, I guess I'll explain it this way. Even if we say saint, or we say Hebrew, or we say Christian, the bottom line is everybody is to be judged by their walk. And so what the quote-unquote, quote, Christian church, what we traditionally call the Christian church, you know, what we came out of, though, you know, we think of Christianity because they say Christian, that we think of that in that light and say, oh, well, everything that they're doing, but, and, you know, what they believe. But a lot of us still use the name Jesus, and we still use the name, you know, we still use Lord, and we still use Christ. And so a true Christian is simply somebody that's following after Mashiach and becoming like him, becoming like Christ. That's a Christian. Now, I know that the world has put their own interpretation on that word, and then our experience that we have had with the church and the doctrines that they teach, then a lot of us don't want to be associated with that word. Yet, you know, we read these things in the scriptures all the time. And so I'm just going to say at this, you know, this time, that is not, it's not a negative term if your walk is right. If you're following after, quote unquote, Jesus, and your walk is right, and you're not following any of the false doctrines, not practicing paganism and that kind of stuff, you know, keeping the laws of the Most High, then you can proudly call yourself a Christian in the true sense of the word, okay? I think that, you know, what I hate to see people do and what the Roman Catholic Church did, what Christianity, quote-unquote, did through the Roman Catholic Church was, you know, try to paint Judaism in a negative light. And so a lot of their doctrines, a lot of their traditions, a lot of the ways that they behaved was so that they were trying not to be like our forefathers. We don't want to be like the Jews. We don't want to be associated with the Jews. Okay, and so they did things that painted things in that light, like they painted the Sabbath as being something bad. If you kept the laws, it was something bad. And that's something that they did. But a true Christian, if you know Messiah as Jesus Christ, if you are a true Christian, then you are trying to become like him, and you're following his discipline. Now, whether you call him Yahuwah, whether you call him Yeshua, whatever name you're using, you are trying to be, the goal is to become like him, whatever name you're using. So, you know, I don't want us to paint or use a word and paint it in such a negative way that we are trying to not become like a certain way that that people act or traditionally act when the term itself, when you think about it, is not a negative term. And when we make it negative, then we're really saying that we don't believe the way that they believe and the way that they behave and taking on this title, okay? But in the strictest sense of the word, if you are doing what you're supposed to do, and if you're using the English vernacular, written from the Greek, you know, translated into the English, and that's the way you grew up, then if you say that you are a Christian and you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you can wear that title proudly. If you don't agree with everything that they do or say, then don't agree with everything that they do or say. Because I don't agree with everything that my Hebrew brothers and sisters do and say. You know, you're going to have negativity both ways. The thing is that, you know, we're not even supposed to get caught up in titles. So I just chose to use the word saint. Because I haven't heard, you know, I haven't heard too many people use that word. But we are supposed to be also the saints. You know, the Catholics use that word. Saint Mary and Saint this and Saint that, but the word is in the English vernacular. And really, the true sense of the word is not how they have defined it, but it is those that are following the Most High. So we're not going to look at this stuff particularly tonight, but, you know, I wanted to preface this, preface or I don't think I've used the right word there. I wanted to set this up with that, preface this with that, so that, you know, we don't take things and allow them to give us cause to become negative because a certain word was used. Okay. Understand that if you say Messiah, if you say Christ, if you say Yahuwah, if you say Jesus, if you, that's who you're trying to become like, if that's the word, the name that you understand that you use, then as long as you're trying to become like he says in the scriptures and not how men teach it, make sure that you're walking according to the word of the Most High. I tell you all the time, you know, if I can't read it to you, then I'm not going to teach it, even if I have a different understanding. If I can't read it to you, I will not teach it, because I have to fall back on this word. And I don't fall back, I don't do my opinion. My opinion, you know, then you can say Brother Miles said. But if I show you in black and white, whether you agree with the understanding or not, it's there in black and white. Okay, and that's what I have to fall back on, especially as, you know, in teaching in the body, because there are many beliefs out there. So we're just going to look at today, we're going to start with this, you know, because I know when it comes to, especially when it comes to the laws of the Most High, and people tend to start to look for cracks, you know, if they're doing something that they're not supposed to do, or they are violating in a way that they know they shouldn't be doing, or it's been taught a certain way, they start looking at you trying to see what you're doing, okay? And the bottom line is, Messiah said, we can go about doing good on the Sabbath. If you go out and feed somebody, that's starving. That's a good on the Sabbath. If you go, you know, as long as you're not doing something for your own pleasure, then it's all good with the Most High. He wants you, you know, he don't want you going to watch a baseball game or go walk the beach and, you know, and even walking the beach wouldn't be a bad thing if you're out there and your mind is on him. You don't say you got to stay inside. Now, if you are going to play volleyball and that kind of stuff, or, you know, seek our own pleasure, then that becomes a whole different thing. And so I think we get wrapped up in not looking at the spirit and the intent. So no, if it says that we're not supposed to work on that day, we're not supposed to do our everyday work. But if you got a dog and the dog is outside and you got to, you know, give the dog water because it's hot outside, the Most High is not going to condemn you for that. So, you know, we need to be within the spirit and the intent of what the scriptures teach. Okay. And so, you know, I want to be everybody to be mindful of that. The scripture says, the letter killeth. The letter killeth. So what it means by that is Israel always had to be, if it said that something had to be yellow, then in their mind, if you didn't have it yellow, then you were transgressing. But what Messiah taught was the letter. What was the intent of what was taught? What was the intent of the law? Was it like, you know, and the only thing I keep going back to this because it's the most obvious one, but the intent of the law was that you do something and you keep the law from your heart. So if it's fornication, then the intent of the law was that you don't fornicate. But if in your heart and in your mind you are lusting after somebody, he says you are guilty because you've already done it in your heart and in your mind. Okay. But when it comes to, you know, not doing anything on the Sabbath, you know, they were getting on Messiah about that. And he says, hey, you, on the Sabbath, circumcise to act, okay, to keep the law. Here I am making somebody whole. You're cutting something away from them and you're injuring them to keep the law. But I am making somebody whole, somebody well. And you want to complain about me healing somebody on the Sabbath. So the intent of the Sabbath was to rest from our labor. But then there are some jobs, like the priesthood, that you got to work on Sabbath. And going out and doing ministry, you can do that on the Sabbath. So we got to keep these things in mind, okay, before we go and start judging someone. Make sure that what they are doing is actually a transgression, and that we're not coming from our own personal opinion, or we're not coming from a position of guilt because keeping it, and then we're being told that we can't do these things, and now we want to fire back on whoever's saying you can't do these things. You know, don't kill the messenger, in other words. Anyway, let us go ahead and continue in this. So let us do our statement of faith. The men and ladies, cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America or South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our master and our savior, our Elohim and our redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. We have all the men to uncover your heads and ladies, cover your heads, and let's turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we glorify you on today. And we lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee, Father. And we thank you for the feast of unleavened, Father, that we have removed all sin from our lives, Father, and that we are looking on righteousness, on your righteousness and on your law, that we concentrate on you, Father. And we just give you glory and honor and praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let us bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump into this precept. And listen, I've been busy all day writing and then having to the microgreens and among other things. And so we're going to go ahead and get into this because I don't know what time I'm going to get tired. We may not be here the whole time tonight, or we may. Yeah, willing. I still got much writing to do, and I need to make sure that I get it done. Need to make sure that I get it done. All right, so let us start this off, and let me bring up my document. Good grief. Here, right here. And you know me, I got about 1,000 things open on my computer. And so if it gets a little slow, just understand. All right, the Bible provides believers with the guidelines and the commandments as to how they should dress and appear both spiritually and naturally. Yeshua calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We represent Mashiach, and all that we do will reflect on him. Got to understand, when we say we are a child of the Most High, then people who are not believers look at us, and believe it or not, they look at you differently when you are a believer. And if you are pious, if you, you know, have a standard about you, that you are actually following the commandments and that you're being obedient, then they're going to look at you and they expect, you know, for you to be the example. Can't really call yourself a holy woman running around in a miniskirt or running around in a bodysuit, showing everything. Same way for a man. Can't really say that you are a holy man and you're running around with leotards on. Everything hanging out, everything can be seen. Okay? That's not the image that the Most High wants us to project to the world. Okay? And so as we get into this precept, I want you to understand that we are the example and we're supposed to set the example. We cannot be double-minded. We cannot be saying that we're the children of the Most High, but we act like the world. We're doing everything they do, like they do it. Then what's the difference? Why should I come and be like you? Why should I follow the commandments of the Most High if you're doing what I'm doing, if I'm in the world? Why should I believe that I need to change? Sure. Still doing the same things that I used to know you to do, that I know, hey, these things ain't good. So we want to look at this walk, okay? So let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Let's start there. The book of Matthew chapter 5. And I really need to close some things because this is going to be bothersome. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, let's get to verses 13. Through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But the salt, if the salt has lost its savor, its saltiness, its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? Whereas if you have lost your saltiness, if you have lost your righteousness, you are not walking according to as the Most High says to walk. If you are still walking according to your old ways, if you're still struggling with things that you know are wrong, then you cannot be an effective witness. You cannot be an effective example because people will look for those kinks. They will look for those cracks. And so when we put on the armor of the Most High, people are looking for cracks, and the enemy is looking for cracks in our armor. Okay. It is therefore good for nothing if you're not doing, if you're not keeping the standard that the Most High has set for his children, then he says we have lost our saltiness. If we are not able to witness to people and walk in a righteous way before them, if they identify with us because we're still acting like they are, but we're talking biblical to them, and they're like, well, you know God, but in the end, what they're seeing is that we're still acting like them, then we really have no saltiness to us. We have no, we have lost our savor. And he says, then we're good for nothing because we are to be a change. Salt is a change agent, like leaven, like yeast is a change agent. Yeast causes bread to rise. So when we eat flat bread, we leave out the yeast, so it doesn't cause a reaction in the bread, in the dough. Okay, it doesn't cause it to rise. Well, when we lose our saltiness, when we lose our righteousness, and I'm not saying being overly righteous, but if you keep in the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, if you are making righteous judgments according to his word, if you are that type of example, then you are the salt of the world. Because we can't be like them. Okay, we are supposed to be drawing them to God, not them drawing us to them. Okay. It is good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. It's no good. So now let's use it to melt the snow or to, you know, give us some traction, but can't really use it for what we intended to use it for. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a sanitizer. Salt is a flavorer. So when he said you're supposed to have an impact in the world when you are around unbelievers, they should see you differently. Okay? Good for nothing and to be cast or to be trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you are keeping the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High, and you have the love of the Most High in you, then you should be a shining light to people. They should not be seeing you as in a negative way. Okay, and what I mean by that is they shouldn't see you doing stuff that's negative as far as the word goes, because the world has a different standard. So they might call you, oh, you holier than thou. You think you holier than thou. Maybe. I'm just trying to walk right. And I don't want you to corrupt me, you know, with your the way you do things, because I used to do those things, but I don't do them anymore. Okay. So we're supposed to attract people. And they say opposites attract. Okay. So don't be surprised when a bunch of sinners, a bunch of people who are not walking upright are attracted to you, because people are generally looking to find good. They're looking to find righteousness. They just don't believe that people actually walk it. That's the problem. They don't believe that people actually walk it and live that way. And then, you know, with different doctrines that are taught out there, then you might have been taught that, hey, you can't be perfect. That within itself, you know, then the Most High gave us a commandment that he knew that we couldn't fulfill. But he didn't do that. Be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Then you got to understand what is it about in that. And so we are supposed to be walking, if you're keeping this law, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, if you're keeping them, then you're not going to act like the rest of the world. And they're going to know it. They're going to know how you physically dress. They're going to know how you physically act. They're going to know when they interact with you. Oh, you're not the same. Come on, let's go to the bar after work and have a drink. Well, I don't do that. Or let's go hit the nightclub. Let's go out dancing and do this. I don't do that. But what do? You know, I go to church or I'm in the Word. I study. I go spend time with the kids, the family, whatever. But I'm not doing those things. Okay. And so that doesn't mean that you can't go to somebody's house for dinner. That don't mean that you can't have worldly friends. But they got to know that you're different. They got to know what you stand for. They got to know what you stand on. And you cannot be hypocritical. You cannot be saying one thing, and then when you get with them, they're able to talk you into, well, you know, let's go do this. And to be around them, you go and do that. Can't do that. Okay. Because then you start looking and feeling like them. And so we don't want that to be around, you know, to be what they're attracted to. Or us attracted to them because, you know, we want to be accepted or whatever. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So when we are the light of the world, we're supposed to be shining forth the light. They're supposed to see him in us. And it doesn't matter, you know, what they think as far as you being a goody two-shoes, or you being, you know, I keep the law and I don't break it. Because when it comes down to it, when they need somebody who is solid, who is on solid ground, they're going to be looking for you. when the world rears its ugly head and they can't, you know, they can't really find what they're looking for, they're going to look for you. Okay? And so you can't be like them. Go to Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And whosoever you, and whatsoever, whatsoever you do, let me get my glass. I want to read stuff that ain't there. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, what comes out of your mouth or what you do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Now I'm sure, I'm positive, ain't none of us going to be using the name of Yeshua or Jesus, knowing that we're about to go do something we ain't supposed to be doing. But in everything, we're supposed to use the same. So we, if we are doing stuff that we're not supposed to be doing, we're surely not going to be doing it in his name. Giving thanks to Elohim and to the Father by him. Talk about doing righteousness always, not putting ourselves, you know, it's not that a man or a woman can't be attracted to each other, but it's got to be attracted to each other in the right way and come into the right situation. So, you know, we can get locked up in some things. But the problem is, in this world today, you know, people have an attraction, and the first thing the world teaches, hey, you're supposed to end up in the bed. Whether you're married or not, supposed to end up in the bed. And we got this attraction for each other. No. So whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Just like you were baptized in his name. And if you weren't baptized in his name, I would recommend that you get rebaptized. Because his name is important. Giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. So we are to be the salt of the world. We're to be the light of the world. And we represent him. Everything we do in his name. And we got to understand that. So if we are in relationships, they got to be righteous relationships. If we are in doing business, we got to do business righteously. If we're dealing with a brother or a sister, we got to do that righteously, lawfully. So let's look at spiritual adornment, what the Most High gives us for spiritual adornment, what how we are to clothe ourselves spiritually. Go to Galatians chapter 5, the book of Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to get verses 23 through 25. Galatians chapter 22 through 25. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Against such there is no law. What is that saying? There is no law telling you how much to love someone. There is no law saying how much joy you can have. There is no law saying how much peace you're supposed to have or to provide in any of these. There is no law saying how long you're supposed to suffer. There is no law saying how gentle you're supposed to be. How much gentleness you give, okay? Now, we're supposed to be gentle, so I'm not saying the opposite of that. If you're a gentle person and people think that you are, let's say today, they think you're weak because you're gentle or that you are people. A lot of times people will take those attributes, these attributes today as weakness. So I'm not saying that you're supposed to say, well, no, I'm not supposed to be that peaceful or that joyful or that loving. I'm not supposed to extend love. He just, there is no law that says how loving you're supposed to be. How good, how much goodness. Now, what I'm saying is, I think I'm saying this wrong. So let me reword this. There is no law that says how much love you're supposed to give. He says to love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes that can be scary because some people don't love themselves. But if we are in the Word and we understand that we're supposed to treat our fellow man as ourselves, and we don't hate ourselves, then we are to love someone as we love ourselves. We are to bring joy to people. We are to bring peace. There is no law. The laws that are, the things that we have laws for are things God doesn't want us doing a whole lot of. So don't steal. Don't overeat. Don't overly do things that are negative. He doesn't consider you loving somebody beyond what somebody would say you should love them as a negative, as you have the capacity to give, or how much joy you give somebody, or how much peace, how much long-suffering you go through. It doesn't say, you know, well, hey, after 3 days, that's enough. You know, if you're called to go through 7 months, whatever it requires, there's no law against these things because he tells us to be long-suffering. How much goodness or how much faith to have. You can't, you know, if you believe the Most High or have faith in him to the 10th degree, and somebody says, you know what, you just being foolish. There's no law that tells you how much faith to have. He wants you to believe in him completely. And he really does care if we have too little faith. But he says, then you're trying to do things to be. Because a lot of times we don't want to be meek, especially when we feel offended. Then we really come out of our shell. How much temperance, you know, patience. How much to dial things back. Against such there is no law. And they that care, and they that are Messiahs or Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. So he's not saying that, you know, if you are not in a relationship and you are eligible to be in a relationship and you find somebody to be in a relationship, that the lust shouldn't be the first thing. And, you know, in the scriptures, most of the time, marriage was not based upon affection or lust were arranged in those days. Now, today we live in a society where men and women run around free. They're free agents. And, you know, we have a physical attraction or a mental attraction. It turns into emotional attraction. And then want to proceed from there. Or some people, it's just physical. I like the way you look. Let's get busy. Depending upon where you're at in your walk, but he says, don't let, you are supposed to crucify those things when you come to him. So he's not saying that you can't be in those relationships. He's not saying that if you're married that you can't have affection or lust towards your partner. It's legal at that point. The problem is when people are not in correct relationships and these things come up, then we're not supposed to play with those things unless we're going to enter into a rightful relationship, a legal one. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit also. What does that mean? That means that if we are being guided by the Spirit of the Most High, and let me say this way, this is not our mind. Filled with the Spirit of the Most High is a physical thing. He says, I will put my Spirit in you. It's not his word. I'm going to show you this in the scripture. Because a lot of people believe that the more Bible that they know, the more spirit that they have. That is nonsense. Okay, the word came from a being. We call him the Most High. He says, I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. So you got to understand that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is the Most High himself. That is who and what he is. Before he created anything, he was holy. Before he created anything, he was the Spirit. By default, then, he has to be the first Holy Spirit. He created other Holy Spirits. Gabriel, Michael, heck, I can't even think of the names of the other, Raphael, those other spirits that hang around his throne. They are spirits and they are holy. And they are holy spirits, but they are not the Holy Spirit. They weren't first. The Most High was first. So he is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. That's why he says we must be born of the water and of the spirit, his spirit, the first spirit, his, the creator. He's not telling us to be filled with an angel or filled with another man. So we got to be filled by him. Okay, and he designed us to be that way. That's why demon possession is real. And people can believe in demon possession, and they can look at The Exorcist and those types of programs and be like, mesmerized, be afraid. But when it comes to being filled by the Spirit of the Most High, all of a sudden it's a different thing. So the Most High says, I designed you that your spirit will unite with mine. But if you're evil, your spirit will also, and you will surrender to something evil. So you got to understand that being filled with the Spirit of the Most High is a very real and physical thing. It's not a matter of your mind. It's a matter of he chooses us and chooses to dwell in us. It has nothing to do with how much Bible we read. Because we got people doing that. Studying the Bible and becoming scholars in the Bible and then believing that they've been filled by this. Nothing can be further from the truth. Okay. So in everything that we're doing, we're supposed to do it in Messiah's name. We're supposed to crucify the affections and the lust of the flesh if they're inappropriate. A time and a season for everything and a correct relationship to be in for everything. He's not saying that, hey, if we were to crucify the affection and the lust in the flesh and we're married and we don't have children, then Most High is not saying to make, you know, your sex life or your love life mechanical. Oh, yeah, we're just coming together and we're doing this. And no, he's not saying that. Because that's a very intimate thing. And it's to draw people closer together. Something that they share that they don't share with everybody else. Saying that. But when we are single or we're married and we're lusting after people that we're not married to, when we got inappropriate affection, for people that we shouldn't have those types of affections for, this is what he's talking about. Crucify those things. Get rid of those temptations so that we can walk in the Spirit. So if you are filled with the Ruach, then you got to realize everywhere you go, the Most High goes. He's already there, but inside of you. That's why when we understand tabernacles, when we understand what the Most High did went on with Pentecost, by the flesh for real in Messiah, when he tore the curtains in half, he says, I'm no longer dwelling in this building anymore. I used to meet you in this building, behind this curtain. He ripped that open and says, I'm coming out. And my desire has always been to dwell in you. That's the body that I built for myself. That's the temple that I built for myself. You. When we realize that, then we don't take the Most High. We don't go everywhere. We don't do everything because we realize who's dwelling in us. Okay? And we walk in him. If you truly have a relationship with him, you're going to ask him, should I be doing that? Should I go there? Can I do this? When we say, be a light unto our path, guide us, but we don't ever ask, then how are we supposed to be, how are we supposed to be guided? Think about that. Go to Romans chapter 8. Should have these fruits. Now, can you be loving on your own? Yes. Can you be give and receive joy on your own? Yes. Can you have peace on your own? Yes. Can you be naturally long-suffering? Yes. Can you have a spirit of gentleness? Yes. Can you be good to a degree? Yes. Can you have a certain level of faith or a certain level of meekness or temperance? Yes. But the bottom line is, the Most High says, when you receive his spirit, then those things, if you already naturally have them, they become more magnified in him. A whole different level. So understand that. A lot of people, I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. A lot of people try to be good in and of themselves. So by work, you know, their behavior, well, let me be like this. I know the scriptures say this, so let me be like this. But if it is separate and apart from the Most High, then you're going to be doing it to be seen. I won't say everything, and I won't say all the time. But usually the natural man's motivation is to pump himself up, his ego or her ego. The motivation behind being giving love is nobody, you know, people want unconditional love, but most people don't love unconditionally. The Most High doesn't love unconditionally. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, I love you. In other words, if you don't keep them, I don't love you. So our motivation has to be from his standpoint and not to make ourselves feel good or make ourselves, you know, puff ourselves up. And that's the carnal man. I want people to see me this way. So let me do those things. Now, there are some things that we do that can come natural to us. Just the way we are. But we got some other traits that are, they're natural to us too, and they are not good traits. It says that we are saved not by works, because all have sinned and fallen short. And if we don't get that status changed by the Most High, then we're trying to be good in and of ourselves. After we are saved, then we're supposed to be good, for real, for real. But from not the standpoint to puff ourselves up, but to glorify the Most High. Different motivation. Okay. So go to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8:18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons, the children of Elohim. When Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, as I said, this is very literal. And we have to be filled by him. When we are filled by him, then we are led by him. We are his children. That's why I said, you know, I say it this way, I'm going to say it this way now. If understanding, if you truly believe that the Most High, now I'm not going to say believe, because you can believe something and it not be true. You can know something that is false as well. But typically when we have had an encounter with the Most High, when he fills us with his spirit, there's no guessing about that. There's no, I think. It's something that you know. So if we know that we have been filled by the Spirit of the Most High, not enough to stop us from sinning, nothing will. If that's not enough motivation to make you walk right, nothing will make you walk right. If being filled by his Spirit and truly being his child is not enough to make you behave the way he wants you to behave, nothing is going to make you behave the way he wants you to behave. That's a gut check. Because if we know who we are, then we know we have to represent him. And how we act and behave is on us. What we choose to do or not do. You know, it's like being a drug addict. When someone is a drug addict, you cannot help them as long as they want to do drugs. But as soon as they make up their mind that they are through with drugs, I'm through with crack, I'm through with heroin, I'm through with whatever drug it is, you know, being a sex addict, you get tired of being used, whatever it is, when you get tired of it, you're done with it. And if we get tired enough of it, nothing can make us go back, because we don't want to go back to that anymore when we're truly done with something. I mean, I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to drink alcohol. I used to smoke weed. I think I started smoking weed when I was like 14. Smoked it all the way up and through, you know, through my time in the military. Had about 12 years in the military. And then it came a point where, you know what? Basically, the Most High said I had to stop. I loved him, and I wanted to stop, but I could stop doing weed and I could stop doing alcohol. But the cigarettes were on me like they had a hold on me that I couldn't break myself. You know, I ball up a pack of cigarettes. I ain't going to smoke again. I don't want to do this no more. But I wasn't really done with it. Because 15, 20 minutes later, an hour later, I'm looking for that same pack of cigarettes I balled up trying to fix me one up so I could smoke it. And then I said, you know what? I don't think I love myself enough to stop this. And I have been to a deal with the Most High where I made a promise to the Most High and I didn't keep the promise and he gave me cancer. So I know the Most High I know that he's very real and he's been very real in my life. And he told me, hey, this cancer ain't going to kill you. But you ain't going to make another promise to me and not keep it, or else I will kill you. So when it came to the cigarettes, I and my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and, you know, my wife, we all went to see this apostle. And this man walked in the fivefold ministry. I mean, he had all these gifts. And he looked straight at me and says, oh, to the hard-headed one. He said, you got to put those cigarettes down. I said, well, why I got to put them down and he don't? I'm talking about my father-in-law. I said, why I got to put them down and he don't? He says, because in your heart and in your mind, it is sin. And he was telling the truth. I thought that they were wrong. But I was doing it. So I made a promise to the Most High. I said, hey, if you let me go 3 days, I will never pick up a cigarette again. I'll never put one in my mouth. I'll never go back to it. And I stopped drinking, stopped everything, because I knew if I drank, I would smoke. If I smoke, I would drink. Like, kind of fed on each other. So I went and got on the patch, the nicotine patch. And after they put me on the correct one, because those patches and that nicotine don't play, they have you having dreams that you think you're awake, but you're dreaming. So they got me on the correct dose, and after 3 days, I woke up. This is a patch that you wear 24 hours a day. You change it, you know, every 24 hours. Third day, I woke up, and the patch was off. I said, okay, Most High, it's been 3 days. I don't even need this patch anymore. Didn't go. I had 27 days of patches to go through. Didn't need them. I told the Most High, if you let me go 3 days, I would never go back. And I never went back. Okay, so I was done. I was finished. And I wasn't going to break my promise to him because I didn't want him killing me. Don't want him killing me for breaking a promise. So when, you know, that is the way our nature is. When we're done, we're done. If you're still struggling with something, because deep down inside, you're not done with it. And so you have to be done with it so that the Most I can lead, especially if you know that you're not supposed to be doing it. Okay, let's keep going. So we have to know that we are His, and if that's not enough to make you stop sinning, as I said, nothing will make you stop. Just telling you what I know. So the Spirit provides us. The Spirit of the Most High provides us with the gifts of the Spirit. And then He leads us in you. Hey, you ain't supposed to be going there. You ain't supposed to be doing that. He will unction us. We have to have that. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Got to have His Spirit. Okay, to lead us. To give us the gift. Can't walk on our own, of our own cognizance, you know, because we'll try to be good, but the motivation will be because we're trying to be good rather than just being good. To Hebrews chapter 11. I think we've already been there. Now let's go to Hebrews 11. I don't think we have been there. Yeah, Hebrews 11. Let's get verse 6. But without, because without it, it's impossible to please Him. Now, how strong is your faith? How deep is your faith? That can be different for every person. But really, your faith is what you truly believe. It's what you truly believe. If I say, hey, your house is on fire right now, if you believe what I'm saying, you go check your house. If you believe I'm just saying something or I'm full of crap, you're going to be like, yeah, right. If you believe that the Most High will move on your behalf, and you walk in that, that is your level of faith. Okay, so let's go to, we're going to come back to this verse. Let's go to, Hebrews, let's go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1 in this chapter. 4. What you hope for, you don't have it. Because if you have it, then you don't need to hope for it. Okay? So faith is this when it says substance, it's talking about what you actually believe for real and hope for, that mechanism by which you believe it, and the evidence of things not yet seen. If it's something that you already have, you don't need to hope for it. You don't need to have faith for it, because you already got it. So when he says without faith, you've never seen the Most High. Maybe we haven't even heard his voice. Then to believe on him, you have to be believing out of faith. Now, what level you believe at and how you believe is how your faith is measured. So if you believe that you're supposed to keep the statutes, the laws, the commandments of the Most High, his judgment, because you believe that he is real and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's go back down there. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen or not seen. So we're going back to verse 6. But without faith, without hoping that the Most High is real, if you have never seen him, or if you can believe it, it is impossible to please him. For they that cometh to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Now, this reward can be good, or it can be negative. And see, a lot of people read this verse and they want to take the positive. And I'm not saying don't take the positive, because we want to believe that, hey, if we do what the Most High says to do, we have a good reward coming. But we also got to understand that if he's a rewarder, he also going to reward the wicked according to their doing, both sides of the equation. Got to believe that he's a rewarder, good or bad, according to our work. If we are diligently seeking him, then we are going to be trying to do what it is that he wants us to do. So it's a positive. Diligently seeking him means that you are seeking him as he wants with your whole heart. He gives us the requirement. I want your whole heart. My people, I will be their God, their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall seek me with their whole heart. That's to diligently seek him with our whole heart, everything that we are. He don't want half of us. He don't want 90% of us. If somebody says, hey, you say, hey, who does Burger belong to? And somebody says, it belongs to me. If they say you can have a piece of it, then you can have a piece of it. They say you can have the whole thing, and they don't want none of it. You can eat the whole thing. The Most High says, I want your whole heart. I don't want a piece of your heart. I want you to be completely 100% motivated by me, to please me. He don't ever say anything less than that. I want your all, not what you want to give me, but I want your all. Can we walk in that? So this is what he wants from us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he gives us some examples. By faith, Noah, being warned of Elohim, of things not seen yet, moved with fear. I'm going to destroy the earth. That hadn't happened yet. I'm going to cause it to rain. It hadn't even rained yet in Noah's day, ever. In those days, how everything got water, a mist came up like a fog and watered the ground. They had never seen rain. I'm going to cause it to rain. What's that, Most High? I'm going to cause water to fall from the sky. Seen that yet? No man on the earth had ever seen that. But I'm going to destroy the earth. Prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. Noah, by having faith in what the Most High said, I'm going to destroy this earth, moved with fear, and built the ark. Now, contrary to what is being taught, Noah never told anybody that the Most High was going to destroy the world. It's not what he preached. He preached the law. Messiah said that destruction came upon them suddenly. They didn't receive any warning. Better straighten up. You better repent. You better stop doing what you're doing. No. Noah taught, hey, you need to keep the Sabbath day. You need to keep the laws of the Most High. Y'all need to stop doing all that strange stuff y'all doing. He preached righteousness, lawfulness, but he never told them what was coming. But he feared because he believed. He hadn't seen rain. But he believed the Most High. And he condemned the world. Because he was faithful, the Most High says, all right, now I'm going to order these animals to come on up in here. You go get your wife and your kids and their wives. And when I shut this door, you just sit and wait. So Noah had to wait 7 days. 7 days in the ark. Most High, you sure you told me to build this ark? You sure you're going to bring the destruction of the world? 7 days to rain, and it starts to pour down. Then the ground breaks open. The water starts coming up that way. So he condemns the world. And it says, and because, condemned the world, and because heir of righteousness, which is of faith. Heir of, when it says righteousness there, lawfulness. Anytime you see righteousness in the scriptures, talking about doing what's right in the eyes of the Most High, keeping his law. Lawfulness. And became the heir of lawfulness, which is by faith. So how do you keep the law? By faith, because you believe that the Most High is going to do what he said he's going to do. And if we transgress against them, he's going to get us. If we keep them, he's going to reward us. By faith, that's how we keep it. By faith, Abraham, which was called to go out into the place, which he should have after received for an inheritance. Abraham, I want you to leave the home of your father and your people. Come go up on top of this mountain, and I want you to look every direction. And every direction, as far as you can see, I'm going to have you to walk it. And every place you step, I'm going to give it to you and your descendants. You're not going to occupy it. but your descendants are. He had to believe that. By faith, you all of a sudden belong to my descendants. I'm going to be a father of many nations. Heck, my wife can't even have a child right now. I'm 75 years old. And she ain't pregnant yet. And I truly believe it's about to be that time where she ain't going to be able to have no children. But I'm going to be a father of many nations. How you going to work that out? I believe you. But how you going to work that out? He believed. He, after received for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Just walked. Everywhere you walk, don't belong to your descendants. It wasn't by chance that Jacob and his 12 sons ended up going to Egypt. It wasn't by chance that where they were put at in Egypt by Joseph. They didn't stay. They stayed in Egypt on their own land. The Most High had already given that land to Abraham. Abraham went into Egypt. Pharaoh wanted Sarah. And then got mad because he caught Abraham sort of chiding with playing around with Sarah. Hey, surely the way you chiding with her, the way you playing with her, she got to be your wife. Why did you tell me she was your sister? Because Abraham knew and he believed that, hey, if they think that she's my wife, they'll kill me just to get her. So why you tell me that this was your sister? I could have laid with her. I'm the king. Just like David did. You know, Bathsheba didn't have a whole lot to say in that matter. Because it could have cost her life. What? You going to deny the king? You a married woman? He knew she was married. He had already inquired. Still laid with her. Then tried to cover it up. Most I says, yep, you're going to pay for that. So Abraham, by faith, stepped out, walked from the Nile River to the Euphrates River, back around through, you know, from the Nile through the Middle East, what is currently called Israel, up through Assyria. They walked all that area. If you look on that on the map, the current Israel is nowhere near the size that the Most High gave to Abraham. And they only possessed that land once in the time of David. But the Most High is going to restore it. As soon as, you know, what Solomon did for his wives by creating altars up on high and putting altars for his wives, even in the temple of the Most High. The Most High said, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. You're the wisest man in the world. Look what you done. But for your father David's sake, I'm not going to rip it from you. I'm going to rip it from your son. Because of what you did. So we got to understand that Israel and the land of Israel that was promised to Abraham and his descendants, we only possessed that land once under David. When the Most High comes back to reestablish Israel, when he reestablishes it, it's not going to be just on that little sliver of land. It's not going to just be built around Jerusalem. Or what, you know, even in the days of Messiah, that's all it was. Occupied by the Romans. Had been occupied ever since the time of Solomon by one nation or another. But the Most High is going to reestablish of his promise to Abraham. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise. Sojourn means to visit and live there, but not actually be permanent resident there. It's like, it's a little bit longer than a vacation, but it's not your permanent residence. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is Elohim. Abraham is looking for the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. Man built all the cities on the earth. But what the Most High showed Abraham in the future, this is where the new Jerusalem is going to take up. And if you look at that, if you look at the dimension of the new Jerusalem and where Abraham walked, one city that size come down out of heaven. That's what he was looking for. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She wasn't ovulating anymore. Matter of fact, she had to rejuvenate them both because Abraham wasn't producing semen anymore either. So that they couldn't say, they had to give this credit to the Most High. I'm past the age of being able to produce children as a woman. And Abraham, you all dried up too. The Most High rejuvenated them through their faith, because they believed. Even though she laughed. The Most High said, why are you laughing? I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. But he still blessed her. So, verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, even though she gave Hagar to Abraham, she was trying to make that promise come true. She's trying to, you know, the Most High said, I'm going to have a baby, and I'm going to have a baby. Even if I got to make it come true myself. The Most High was like, I'm waiting until there ain't no possibility that you can think that this is your and your husband doing. So she gives him Hagar. Here, take my handmaiden, sleep with her, and perhaps I will have a child through her. So when she goes to deliver, I will fit her between my legs as she's delivering, and it will be as though I'm delivering. That was the custom. And because Hagar was her slave, she owned Hagar. Hagar was her slave. Whatever Hagar had was hers. Even when Abraham took her as a wife, and Hagar was Abraham's wife, that is in the scriptures. Not just a woman he slept with because his wife said, here, sleep with her. When he took her to sleep with her, he took her as a wife. And she became his wife, but she was still Sarah's slave. Then she had to believe the Most High. You know what? Send away that bondwoman. Send away, he blamed Abraham. So send away that woman that I caused to have a child, and I didn't wait on you. I believe you're going to give me a child, and she tried to make it happen. Caused her all kind of pain. And Abraham loved Hagar. Why are you telling me to send this woman away? She done had a child by me, but she belonged to Sarah. Abraham abided by, and then the Most High says, hey, listen to her, do as she's asked. Sent Hagar away. But he says, because Ishmael is your seed, I will make of him a great nation as well. There were 12 sons of Ishmael before there were 12 sons of Israel, of Jacob. So he blessed Ishmael because of Abraham. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. There are a number of nations that are the seed of Abraham today. I don't know if they identify themselves that way, but this is what the Most High said that he would do. But the one that he was mainly concerned with is the one that Messiah would come out of. He told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Seed of Abraham that are walking around this earth by faith. When we do it, when I do the lesson on faith, then we'll find out that it's by faith that we get into the kingdom. It's by faith that we that even a lot of people are in Mashiach by faith. Have to truly believe it. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. Abraham never saw all those nations he was supposed to become. So Isaac, he had to believe that out of Isaac, that the Most High was going to keep his word. Isaac had to believe that out of Jacob, the Most High was going to keep his word. Because when we look at Jacob and Esau, Esau was the firstborn. But Esau wasn't promised. He wasn't prophesied to be the promised seed. But the scriptures would tell us that while Jacob and Esau were in the womb, the Most High chose Jacob, even though Jacob came out second. And understand that those two nations that Rachel was told that was in her womb, or Rebecca, which one was his wife's name? Rebecca. The two children that were in her womb. Said it would be two different people. Understand that that is spiritual in nature. Those who desire the kingdom enough that they would do anything to get the kingdom, that's the seed of Jacob. He was willing to steal it to get it. Or it's those that don't really care about getting in the kingdom. They don't really love it. They want it because it's supposed to be theirs, but they're not willing to do what it takes. They despise it. They're not willing to do what it takes to get in, to get it. That's the two people he's talking about. You know, everybody's trying to find who Esau is, and these people are Esau. There is a physical seed of Esau in the world, but that's not what the Most High was looking at. He's looking at those who want the kingdom and those that don't. So we don't want the kingdom if we're really not, truly not giving it our whole heart, then are we Esau? Spiritually. The people who are running around after the natural man, they're looking for the Jew to be Esau. They're looking for this person or these people to be Esau. Truth be known, if Esau was red and had red hair and was real hairy, and Jacob was not red and was smooth, didn't have hair all over, then they are brothers. How are you going to distinguish, all red people are Esau? No, Esau married a Canaanite woman, a black woman, against his father's wishes. He was in rebellion. And it wasn't a problem that she was black. It was that she was a Canaanite. So his descendants don't have to be red. They can be high yellow. They can be chocolate brown. They can be whatever. They're not going to be, it's not even talking about that. Because when you look at most of the seed of Israel from the sons, two or three of them, I think maybe four, married Canaanite women. So there's a mix there from the beginning. You've got to understand that that's the carnal man in us looking for those types of things. And the Most High is saying, hey, I'm concerned with the spiritual aspect. I'm going to make two people, one that love me and one that don't. You got to figure out which one you are. Do you love him? Are you willing to do anything to get into the kingdom? Do you truly fear him and don't want to transgress? Or do you, you know, not really care? It may not even be real. Two different types of people. That's what he's talking about. So they all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. This is what it's going to be. I believe that this is what it's going to be because this is what you told me. You told me I will be a father of many nations. Right now I'm a father of one. Two, actually, Ishmael and Isaac. And we're persuaded of them. So we got to believe the word of the Most High. And what he says, even what's written, because without even what we're reading, you know, we could be going searching all over the place for different things. I have found that if you believe the Most High, it doesn't matter what all you read. Why? Because what he wants you to know, he's going to make sure you know. If it's important to your salvation, if it's important to your walk, he's going to make sure you know. So they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. This ain't my land. This ain't my country. Where the Most High has me ultimately going, ain't here. I'm just a pilgrim here. I'm just a sojourner here. I'm just a visitor here. We're not going into the heavens. But where we're at is not where we're going to end up at when Messiah comes back and establishes his kingdom on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned if they thought about the country they came out of. But they never looked back. They focus on this is what you said you were going to give us, what you're going to do for us. I ain't trying to go back there. But now they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly, the new Jerusalem coming down. Wherefore, Elohim is not ashamed to be called their Elohim. When we doubt the Most High, because we're supposed to be clothed in faith, when we doubt him, when we question, then we don't, you know, he can very easily be ashamed of us. You call yourself my child, you say you believe in me and you doubt? You doubt whether I told you something? If you really know he told you, you shouldn't doubt it. To walk 100% in it. So he won't be ashamed to call him our Elohim. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried and offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, just like the Most High. Now think about that. The Most High says, I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to make of you many nations. You're going to become many nations. And now the Most High is asking you to kill your son. He had you send the other one away. He wants you to kill this one. He asked me, will you do it? And by faith, Abraham was going to kill him. Why? You said you're going to make of me many nations, and you said that this was my heir. So you have to raise him back up. You're going to do something. Because I believe the promise you gave. So So even if I kill this one, you bringing this one back. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You said my seed was going to be called in this. You're going to do it through this one. You tell me to kill him, you got to bring him back. And I know that you're able. Say, counting that Elohim was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. They knew that, hey, this is not the end. We're not supposed to end up here as servants in Egypt. We're not supposed to be Bedouins and be, you know, wandering all around the desert. The Most High has a country that he's going to give us, going to make us many nations, but there's even something better than that that's coming. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So, they didn't know what was going to happen to Moses. When they put Moses in that Nile River, they knew the Most High had to protect him. Because that Nile River, you got crocodiles, you got hippopotamus, anything, you know, the thing could have sprung a leak. They put him in that water believing that the Most High was going to take care of him. And knowing that he was supposed to be the deliverer. So they put him in that water. Now, you got to ask yourself, where did Moses get this faith from? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, 40 years old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew he was Hebrew his whole life. His mother made sure that she was his quote-unquote wet nurse. She fed him. She helped raise him. She told him who he was and what he was supposed to do. Think about that. Moses gave up the throne of Egypt. He could have been an heir to the throne of Egypt. Even though he wasn't a Pharaoh's son, he was an adopted son. I think it was Pharaoh's granddaughter. Pharaoh's daughter. He was an adopted son. But he still could have sight on the throne. And the Most High could have given him favor and said, you know what? Just like I did with Daniel, just like I did with Joseph, I'm going to do with you. I'm going to put you on the throne in Egypt. Because that's what Joseph was. He was running Egypt. Pharaoh only, you know, came to him about certain things. He says, hey, only you will be to me in Egypt. But you're running everything. And everybody, when they see you, going to treat you like they treat me. So the Most High could have made Moses Pharaoh in Egypt and then said, I'm going to let the people go. The Most High could have done that. But he says, no, I told Moses, I'm going to destroy Egypt. Because they had corrupted themselves. So I don't want you to be over this. Because I'm not leaving this intact. Think about, we'll move on. Think about this. You're Egypt. You got one of the greatest armies in the world at that time. You know, you're competing with Assyria. You are competing with, you know, the major powers in the world at that time, and you are the greatest at that time. You send your army chasing after these slaves. Your chariot, your horsemen. And it had to at least be all the ones that were in, the capital, wherever Pharaoh was at. They were protecting the capital city and any garrisons that were around that. And they come running after the children of Israel. And the Most High has determined he's going to destroy you. Let me take away your army, your ability to defend yourself. They run into that water, and then the Most High lets the water close back over them. He loses his whole army. That's his power. He didn't physically have to die. I've killed your firstborn son, and I've destroyed your army. Israel, you don't have nothing to be afraid of. Don't even look back. He ain't never coming after you after this. Faith. But we got to have that to worship the Most High, because he says without it, it's impossible to please him. Got to believe that what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And what he says he's not going to do, he's not going to do. Matter of fact, the Most High, as far as I can see in the scriptures, the Most High said, I broke my word one time. Once. And Israel caused him to break his word one time. He says, my breach of promise. I made you a promise. I'm going to take all of y'all into the promised land. Everybody that I bring out of Egypt, I'm taking y'all all into the promised land. And within a month's time, no, actually 9 months, but before then, they had corrupted themselves to the point that the Most High says, I'm not taking y'all. I'm going to breach my promise. I made a promise, I'm going to break it. When I saw that in the scripture, I was like, wow. That is just crazy. What time we got? We're at 6:44. Let's go to 2 Peter. Let's see what we got to add to our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. So know that you got to have faith. Got to have his spirit. Got to be his child. Got to believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you got to walk in that. For real, for real. Not kind of, but for real. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be getting verses 5 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, which you need to add to your faith. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Word virtue means. In the Greek, this word is properly, it's in the Greek is aretia, A-R-E-T, apostrophe, or hyphen, A-Y, from the same G730, properly manliness, valor, excellence. So add excellence or valor. Valor means that you have honor. So you got to be honorable. A virtuous woman is an honorable woman. A according to as the scriptures describe what an honorable woman is or an honorable man. So add to your faith honor. You do what you say you're going to do. You keep your word. You don't lie. You don't cheat. You got ethics. You don't break your word. You don't intentionally do the wrong thing. You know, you have integrity. Add that to your faith. Two, add knowledge. Knowledge of the Most High and His ways. And then to knowledge, temperance. This word temperance, self-control. Got to have self-control. Can't be running around, you know, saying that we can't control ourselves. That we, you know, we can't help ourselves. We got this nature about us, and we're going to let that nature just take over. Got to bring it under control. Especially if it's contrary to what the Most High says. Might be some natural, but it's contrary to Him. We have to bring it under control. And to temperance, patience. Be willing to wait for something. We live in a microwave age where people expect things right away. We want it now, the me generation, the now generation. And to patience, godliness, holiness, piety. That's what that word means. Eusebia. That's how it's pronounced. Eusebia. There's a historian out there. Eusebius, but Eusebia. Piety. Godliness. Holiness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Treat your brother as you would have him to treat you. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity and love and mercy are basically all the same thing, different degrees. So when you look at that word agape, love, in essence, affection or benevolence, especially plural, love, peace, or fest, charity, and love, mercy. So we're going to stop here for today. We'll pick this back up on next Tuesday. And we'll start looking at how we become strong in the Most High. Got to have His Spirit. Got to believe that He is, that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Got to have the fruits of the Spirit. Got to walk in them. Got to have faith. Get one more place. Go to James chapter 2. But you need to add to your faith, to your walk. James chapter 2. Verse 26. The book of James, chapter 2, and verse 26. The body without the spirit is dead. So is faith without works. It is dead. Can't say you believe and then have nothing to show that you really believe. I believe, but you don't keep the law. You don't do what he says to do. He says, how do you say you love me and do not what I say? How do you say you know me and don't do what I say? So faith without works is dead. How do you say you love your brother and you don't extend a hand to help when they're in need if you have the ability to do it? So we will pick this up on next week. Start looking at what we're actually fighting against. We know that the power is not, the battle is not between flesh and blood. That's not what really is going on. It's all kind of different spirits in this world, and people with these different spirits acting on behalf of these spirits. They may be in high places, in government, or in the church, or in the work area. But you're either dealing with the Spirit of God or you're dealing with some principality of power that is not of him. That, you know, that, well, he put it in place, but it was to cause us to do wickedness. Because we were wicked. We wanted that stuff. We wanted that stuff, you know, power or whatever. But we will get into that on next week. Are there any questions on anything that we covered today? And I'll open up the line. Any questions on what we covered today?
No, Brother Miles, I don't have any questions.
All right, thank you. Okay, then if there are no questions, nobody else has any questions or wants to speak up, then we will pick this back up on next Tuesday. Thursday, we will have the business meeting. Hopefully, I will have finished all of the lessons for the curriculum. I have the curriculum done. Then I am, you know, doing things and writing things in the way that we want to be doing them up on the land. That's what we have to, it's not necessarily doing things how the way they want to do it. It's us describing what we're going to do and incorporating what they want done at the same time, if that makes sense. We gotta do it in a way and describe it in a way that that's going to meet their objectives. But, you know, how are we going to deliver this training and that kind of stuff? So we got to describe how is our community and how are we using conservation methods so that they will pay for, like, the well, or they will pay for the water generator, or they'll pay for the soap. So and everything has to be worded the way that they wanted it worded. And we will do that the way that they want to hear it, because they will be in our pockets for 3 years. And after that, we do what we want to do. So it is what it is. But we'll meet on Thursday, and I'll go over and show everybody what I have so far. And then I pray that when I meet with the young lady on the 20th, that, you know, that's a fruitful meeting. And we will be submitted before the 27th of April. We should be able to hear back, I'm hoping, before July. And so that we can start, you know, start getting busy. So let's bow our heads. Father, Yahweh, we just come before you right now, Father, and we want to thank you for just having faith in us that we would walk in your ways, that you would put in our hearts that we would be obedient to you, that you would choose us, Father, and that we would do the things that are pleasing to you always. Father, we believe and we have faith that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And Father, I pray that everybody that is within the sound of my voice who listens to the recording, all those that call you and say that they belong to you, that they would seek you with the whole heart and serve you with their whole heart. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so we will meet on Thursday, and may Yah bless you. May He encamp His angel around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. Thanks. Shalom, and remember tomorrow is last day of Feast of Unleavened. Not supposed to be a work day, so if at all possible, don't work tomorrow. And we will have a service tomorrow evening. We'll have a service tomorrow evening. All right, peace and blessings. Why didn't that work? Oh, still coming up. That's crazy. Hold on a minute.
It is always good to stand before you on the Lord.
Thank you. always there. Teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah.
All right. Amen.
Amen.